Oh, Janet. Sweet, sweet Janet. Look at your life. Now, look at what your life could be with the Life Group. Look at your life. Look at your Life Group. Life is better in groups, Janet. Oh, Mittens is going to love that sweater.
Life is better in groups, Janet. All right, here's what I want you to do. Look at the person next to you, and I don't care what their name is. Say this: life is better in groups, Janet. Say it to them. Groups, all right, so I know like a couple, there's a couple guys out there, you're like, what? You know, and then there's some lady named Janet out there, and you're really excited that that person knew your name. Amazing. All right, so listen, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what's at stake by being connected or not being connected into critical relationships in our lives. My name is David Allgaier. For those of you who don't know me, I've been here a long time. In a couple weeks, it'll be 19 years being here as one of the pastors here at the church. Thanks. I used to teach downtown, what we used to call Lay Church. Now we call it our downtown campus of Compassion Christian Church. So now I help all the regional campuses. All right, so here's what I want to do. I want to put a verse on the screen. And there's a little bit of irony to this verse because the truth in this scripture is so essential to your life. And in fact, for a lot of people in the room, it actually could be kind of the missing ingredient for God being able to do more of His will, accomplish His will in you and through you, or bless your life, or even heal your life. And yet, this is nobody's life verse. Like, no one in the room, you know, if someone were to ask you, hey, what's your favorite verse? No one's going to say the verse I'm about to put on the screen, okay? This is going to be a little underwhelming. But at the same time, the truth in this verse is so vitally important, all right? So don't be underwhelmed. Just kind of, you know, we'll go through it together. I want to stick it up here right now. Here's the verse. I want to read it together. Ready? Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So you all are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a body part. And that is critical to know and understand. And the key principle behind that, that kind of drives everything, drives the why that truth is so critical, is this right here. It is that a body part only functions when it is connected to the body. Have you found that to be true in your experience? That a body part only functions when it's connected to the body? Okay, I know there's a lot of people out there, I can see your faces, you're doubters. You don't believe that a body part only functions, you know, when it's connected to the body. And we kind of need to dwell on this and really feel this. So I've asked for a volunteer. So come forward, my volunteer. Okay, let's hear it for the volunteer. Here's a volunteer. All right, and what's your name? Okay, this is Ellie, all right? Now, Ellie, how old are you?
12.
Okay, Ellie's 12. Ellie, you are a beautiful girl, all right? Your parents must be smoking hot. Do people tell you that all the time?
No.
Okay, this is my daughter, Ellie, okay, just so you know. All right, so here it was a coincidence. Here's what I want to do. We're gonna prove this. We're actually going to do some scientific proof right now, and it's going to be amazing. Okay, Ellie, take off take off one of your shoes there. There you go. All right, show everybody your foot. Kind of move around. That's kind of amazing, right? See the foot moving? Come back a little closer here. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to roll this ball to Ellie. Ellie's going to gently kick it back to me, okay? Okay. And when she does, okay, if this actually works, it's going to be amazing. So just be prepared, like, to be, whoa. You can cheer if this actually works. Okay, so remember, body part, does a body part work when it's connected to the body? I'm going to roll it to you. You gently kick back to me. Ready? Here we go. All right, wait, that. Well, just do it one more time. Amazing. Okay, cheer. Okay. Now, hey, wait, who deserves, what body part deserves credit for that? Oh, someone said the brain. So if I like brought a brain out here and rolled it to the brain, it would. No, it's the whole body. Okay, this is really critical. This is important. Not just the foot, but the whole body. Okay, now we're gonna do another experiment. We're gonna see if the body part works really well connected to the body. I'm gonna throw the ball, and you're gonna catch it with one hand. With one hand. Okay, our family reputation is at stake here. Okay, just relax. You know. This is your big moment. This is your Michael Phelps moment. Okay. All right. Ready? Here we go. Are you guys ready? It's crazy. Okay, here we go. Amazing. Okay. Thank you, Ellie. Ellie, you can sit down. Let's hear it for Ellie, our volunteer. So a body. Okay. But it's true, right? We all just proved it. Everybody feels it. You guys are in awe right now that a body part functions really well when it's connected to the body. But what if that body part is not connected to the body? Okay. All right. There we go. Oh, I know. It's a bad reaction. In fact, think of the word you think of when you see that, and then tell the person next to you right now. Say the word. Right. Now, if you're from the South, if you're a guy from the South, your word is, that ain't right. Right? And that's a word. That's one word. That ain't right. Okay. So, here's the deal, though. As weird as that looks, I'm not like zombie love Halloween kind of guy. As weird as that looks, and the reaction we have, it communicates a really true, profound spiritual reality. In the scriptures, this is the view of a body part of the body of Christ, a piece of the body of Christ, not connected to the body. It doesn't look right. It doesn't seem right, because it's not. It wasn't designed to be like that. Well, what about our test? Does the body part work when it's disconnected to the body? All right, let's do the test. Here we go. Whoops. Hard to say. No. Okay, so it doesn't work. So a body part does not function when it is not connected to the body, but when a body part is connected to the body, it functions. Why is it like that with the human body? The answer is because it was created that way, right? It was designed that way. Now, the scripture says this, says that you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are a body part, and you were designed a certain way to be a part of the body. If you're a believer, you are a part of the body of Christ. And so that means what? That you as a body part only function when you're connected to the body. And this is everything. This is so vitally important for some people in the room. You don't even have ever thought about this. But you know what? It is the missing ingredient to what God wants to do next in your life, to God fulfilling you, to God using you. Here's one way I would say it. And you can't really overstate this. God's plans to heal, bless, and use your life are dependent on whether or not you become connected in relationships to the body of believers. This is why in the scriptures, God calls believers to be fiercely dedicated to doing life together as a body. It's everywhere in the scriptures because God has designed the church to function like this. It's the only creation he has for the church as a body. That's why we, here in our church, do things the way we do. It's why we do things together. It's why we serve together. It's why we do world missions together, local missions together. It's why we have a life groups ministry, because we know what the scripture says and its call for us to be connected to the body, because we know our blessing, our healing, the will of God for us is contingent upon it, upon us being connected together. So, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to kind of walk through one of the key texts that talks about this. This is all over the Bible, but in the book of Corinthians, the entire book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, is centered around this theme that the church is a body and all that that means. And there's a chapter that's totally dedicated to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we'll look at just some of this in your pew Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's a Bible there in front of you. It's on page 959. So it says this. So we won't go through the whole thing. We'll go through some of the key stuff. In verse 12, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now look how explicitly it talks about this in this other translation. Just as the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. So my whole illustration with, you know, human body, I mean, that's all the illustration and the analogy from the word itself. Now, the key here is that it is not saying, now think about the subtlety here. It is not saying you should be part of the body. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, it is not saying you should be a part of the body. It is saying you are a part of the body. There's a big difference between that and big implications, you know, between that difference. Should means, hey, I really want you to do it because you have a choice to be connected or not. Are means you just are. And that's what the scripture says. There's no exceptions. God designed your life and your life's mission to only thrive spiritually together and not alone. So any person can say, and this is popular in our culture, you either have friends who have said this or say this, or this is kind of their position on the church in general, or maybe it could be even you. You know, you just kind of feel this way, like, look, I'm a Christian, or I believe in Jesus, but I don't really believe in the church, or I'm a Christian, or I believe in Jesus, and I really want to be connected to a church. You can say that, but it doesn't mean you're not a part of a church. It doesn't mean you're not a part of the church. It just means you're not a functioning part, okay? Now, there's no exceptions to this design. It's reality. It is how it was created. God's plans for you cannot be accomplished if you are not connected to the body, because a body part cannot function when it's not connected to the body. Believers have always tried to do this throughout history, even in well-meaning ways. Back in the 3rd and 4th century A.D., you know, the monastic movement started, and people disconnected from society and disconnected, you know, from other people to kind of get away and do their spiritual life with just them and God alone. And guess what happened? Guess what they did? They formed communities. So their intention was to get off and go by themselves, and they end up forming communities. Why? Because there's no other way to do it. You can't escape the design. God does his work through the body doing it together. And because this is true, when you look at how God accomplishes his will, it's almost always accomplished by doing it together and in relationships. So when you see something happen, okay, when you see God producing fruit through somebody, and it looks like, wow, that body part did that, it's usually an illusion. It's usually not a body part story. It's usually a body story. This happens all the time. Think about when people are saved, okay? Think about when someone gives their life to Christ. Maybe they come down front and they give their life to Christ. The illusion is, wow, that body part, the person who did the message, wow, that person responded to that message, and that's how they were saved. And when you actually dig into the background of those stories, you find out that it's hardly ever a body part story. It's usually a body story. Let me give you an example of this. So years ago, this guy comes forward. I'm preaching downtown, and this guy comes forward at the end. Several people come, and this guy is 77 years old. And he gives his life to Christ. Really, a really cool moment. His name's John Durst. He comes forward. He's baptized that day. And for everybody watching, they might have thought, wow, that's amazing. That's a body part story. The guy gave the sermon, and the guy was really convicted, and it made him come forward and give his life to Christ. But then when you actually look at the story, nothing could be, you know, further from the truth. Here's what actually happened. About 3 months before that, this guy, John, 77 years old, his car broke down. He had a flat tire. And this college kid saw this old guy with a flat tire and went and helped him change the flat tire and then helped get him home. And then turns out, after they talked a little bit, that he needed help with some other things. He had a hard time getting out. And so he got a couple of his other friends and helped him get medications, helped him get food and some different things. And then, after a few weeks of this, he invited him to his life group, group of college kids. And, you know, he's like, you know, you're pretty close. I mean, 77, you know, why not? You know, so he goes to the college group. And then, and really, this is how this went down. And they kept helping him, you know, choosing compassion, just showing love. And then, you know, after that, invited him to come to the church. And he goes to the church, and he gets greeted. Didn't think he would be. Didn't think, you know, he was kind of worried about it. Gets greeted, feels really loved, keeps coming back. And in his life group, they're talking about the gospel. And he realizes, man, I need to make a decision for Christ. And in his life group, he makes a decision for Christ. Then he shows up to church, and when it's time for the invitation, he comes forward. It made no difference what I was talking about. And to people watching, that was a body part story, but the reality is, it was a body story. There were 40 different people who were instrumental in leading that guy to Christ. Because God does his work through the body. It's how he designed things. So, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And then it says this, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Now, this is explaining that when you put your faith in Jesus, you are permanently changed in several ways. You read a verse like this, and it kind of looks a little mystical, like, what's going on here? You know, we're baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. But here's why it's explaining it like this. When you see somebody give their life to Christ, you visibly see some things. You see their faith decision, and you see them, you know, get baptized. There's visible things you see. But the biggest realities about that person, the changes, you physically don't see. I mean, when you see people come out of the water, I mean, there is, like, you feel like you can see it, you know, often. You're like, wow, there's something different. But actually, there's inner realities. There's permanent changes in that person that you can't see. And that word there, that little phrase, so as to form, it's really one word in the text, the word ice. And I put it in your note sheets not to be a geek and just put, you know, Greek in there. But so you can understand that the text is emphasizing that you go from one state to into another. You become something different. There's permanent changes to you when you put your faith in Christ. Number one, your sins are permanently forgiven. The scripture says if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. That is the gospel. You are new. You are new. You're a new creation. You are permanently saved. And why are you saved? It's because you put your faith in what Jesus did. It's always good to just be clear again about the gospel. A person is saved when they put their faith in what Jesus did. A person isn't saved because they are good. A person is saved because they put their faith in Jesus' goodness. They put their faith in Jesus' sacrifice. So you're not saved because you're good. You're not even saved if you have put your faith in Christ because right now you feel like you are. You're saved because you did put your trust in Christ. And so you're permanently forgiven forever. That's a permanent change. Now you can see smiles on people's faces. The gigantic reality of their forgiveness. You can't see, but it's real. And it's permanent when they put their faith in Christ. Another permanent change is the Spirit of God comes to permanently dwell in you. We were all given the one Spirit to drink, it says. And the Corinthian letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians, are these famous passages called the temple passages. Three passages where it says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 is one of them. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? The implications of that are, like, you know, beyond explanation, and we could talk about it all day long and still not totally grasp it. When you put your faith in Christ, the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you permanently. So, when you sin, I mean, think about this. When you sin, the Spirit of God does not leave you. You're never alone. The Spirit of God doesn't leave you. Now, the Spirit of God can be agitated in you. The Spirit of God can be grieved, and that is an important thing to realize. There's people in the room, okay, and most we've all experienced this. I've experienced this. There's been a time period of sin in my life, and the Spirit is grieved within me, and the Spirit won't let me be okay during that time. That could be you right now, and God's call to you is like, the Spirit's grieved in you, and I want to usher in new things in your life. I want to usher in healing. I want to usher in blessing. I want you to leave that sin behind. It's not worth it because what I have for you is so much better. The Spirit of God comes to dwell in you permanently when you put your faith in Christ. And the third permanent thing that happens to you, you become a permanent part of the body of Christ. In a real way, you become forever interconnected with others in the body. There's a mutual dependence that's real, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. We're recreated into this body. We become a body part, a permanent body part. So you step into a new permanent existence. Your sins are forgiven. The Spirit comes to live in you permanently, and you become a permanent part of the body. Now, think of the reality of this again, okay? So if you are then a part of the body, you put your faith in Christ. So not should, but you are. You are a part of the body. But you aren't being a part of the body. What does that mean? It means you're hurting the body. And you're hurting yourself. So again, someone could say, you know, I believe in Jesus, but not church. No, it doesn't matter. You're a part of the body. You're just not a functioning part of the body. And you don't actually understand how that's affecting you. The limits you're putting on the blessing of God in your life, the goodness of God in your life, the will of God for your life. You can't even walk in God's created plans for you unless you intentionally connect yourself to the body. And so that's what the text says next. It's not about should, it's about are. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. I love Jesus, but not the church. And God's like, okay, but for that reason, it doesn't mean you're not a part of the body just because you say it. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. So, when a believer, a body part, isn't engaged in the body, it burdens the body. And I don't say that to condemn anyone. We just need to understand the implications of what we do when we choose not to engage in the body in the different ways we're called to do it. We don't understand really how it affects us. I mean, we don't understand the limits that we've put on God and what He wants to do in us. But we don't understand either the effect it has on the rest of the body. And that the rest of the body actually, and this is, again, when you're disconnected from the body, you don't think about this because you don't see it, but the rest of the body has to compensate for the body part that's not functioning. That's how it works with the physical body. Raise your hand if you've ever had a body part fall asleep. Let me see. Everybody know this? Okay, everybody. And you're probably thinking of a specific time. What do you do when it falls asleep? Shake it, or you maybe hit it, or whatever. And I used to think that it fell asleep because you cut off the blood circulation. But actually, what happens is, whenever you put that body part in an awkward position, it stops communicating to the brain. The nerves get a little pressure on them in the brain, and the body part's not communicating, and it takes a while to reestablish communication, so you're shaking it, and what you're actually doing, you're like, man, we need to reestablish communication here, start talking. Now, I've had a couple dramatic experiences with this. One time, when I was in junior high, I used to have to take the bus to school. I'm from Seattle. I took the bus to school everywhere. Junior high, and I'm on the bus, and I'm tall, I was always tired on the bus, so I'm leaning back in my seat, and my knees are up on the seat in front of me. Okay? Anybody else ever do that? Okay. So, it cuts off the communication of your leg to your brain, apparently, because when we came up to my stop, and there's 40 other junior high kids on the bus, and everybody's getting off, and I wait, jolted awake, and I jump up to get up, and I just go crashing down in the middle of the aisle, okay, with my stuff, which in life is okay. You make mistakes, but it's not okay when you're in junior high, okay? It's not okay. So now I got to get off the bus, and I'm like, hold on, and now, and I need like 5 minutes to do the whole recommunicate, please, let's go, and it's not working, and so I get my stuff, and I'm dragging my foot, my arms, and I'm pulling myself off the bus, and what's going on here? I'm having to have all my other body parts compensate for the body part that has fallen asleep. And what you don't realize is that when you're not engaged in the body, the rest of the body is compensating for you. And people do that spiritually. They really do. People live their spiritual lives like that. And I want to say this. It's always going to be like that. There's always going to be people like that. But I just want to say this. Just don't let that be you. Okay? Just don't let it be you. You don't want to come to the end of your life or even a season of your life and the body's been compensating for you. When you're disconnected from the body, you don't even realize it's happening. The will of God that He was going to do for you, you don't even realize it's going by. as you're just going by disconnected. And it happens in many ways. You know, we call everybody to pray for the lost, and knowing that the Holy Spirit shows up through prayers, to believe in prayer, because we see it happen. We see people come to Christ through it. And some people go, you know what some believers do? They go, people are going to pray. They go, people are going to pray. So I don't have to worry about it. People are going to pray. And God had a will for you, and he wanted you to pray for those people, and he was waiting for that, and now the rest of the body's compensating. You're not even aware of it. And we serve together, and you show up here, and you know, man, it's great greeters and people taking care of your kids and all, and you're like, yeah, people are serving. They'll take care of it. And the rest of the body is actually compensating for you, and God has a will for you, and joy, and things he wants to do through you, and you're not even aware of it. You know, other people will give, you know? Other people will be, their life groups ministry is fine. People will be in groups. And you might even hear this message and go, man, I'm not really compelled to be in a group. I can do this on my own. First of all, no, there are things God wants to do in your life, heal and bless you by being in those relationships. But look at it from a different angle. What if God is calling you to be in groups, and let's take you what you need out of it. What if he's calling you to be in a group because there's people in that group, and this is a fact, who God wants to bless through you? What if that's a ministry, just to be a part of those people's lives? And that is part of it. We're not trying to get our group's ministry bigger. We're trying to fulfill God's word and be connected together as body parts so God can bless, heal, and do his will in our lives. So when a body part's not engaged in the body, the rest of the body compensates. So what do we do with all this today? What do we do with 1 Corinthians 12? Our prayer today is that we would, as a body, move farther into just being the body together, be more connected, so that God's plans can be further fulfilled in us, so that God can bless each of us the way he wants to, so that God can do the healing that he wants to do in us and use our lives to do that in other people. Because, guys, that's how he does it. He does it through us being together and doing it together. It's how he created it. And the way you do that, the way you move into that, into God's will for your life and in all these areas, is not by figuring the whole thing out today and knowing the whole plan. Suddenly, poof, you go from today really feeling spiritually dry or really feeling like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What's my spiritual gift and how am I supposed to, you don't just magically go there, okay? The way you do it, though, and the way great things do happen in your life is by being obedient to the one thing the Spirit is saying to you today. It's true. Take one step in obedience towards God, and God takes a bigger step toward you. And his word says this: draw near to me, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This verse is kind of, in my list of life verses, because there's times in my life I do feel far from things, far from God's will, or inside, like, wow, I'm far from, healing, or I'm far from feeling like I'm, walking where he wants me to walk in his plans. And this verse is always the verse that brings it down to, okay, but right now, that can kind of be different. Because I can respond to the Holy Spirit right now. I can respond to what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do right now. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's the question that God is putting on everyone's heart here. What is the Spirit saying? What's the step the Spirit is giving you right now? Don't worry about figuring out your whole life, but be obedient to that one thing. As the Spirit puts that on you, what is that thing? And it could be one of many things. I mean, if it's about this, about being connected to the body, maybe it is a deeper call to engage in the spiritual call God has for you, to be a person of prayer, to just start like, okay, yeah, I'm going to write someone's name down, and every day I'm going to pray for that person. I want to see the Spirit of Christ show up See, God's word proved to be true by showing up through my prayers. I'm going to be faithful to that. Or just being a person of prayer and engaging the Spirit and letting the Spirit shape your life. Or maybe, you know, it's a, like last couple of weeks, a call to jump in and serve and do this together, because we can do more together than we could ever do alone. So maybe it's a call to serve, or maybe it's a call to join this church body. And that's kind of a mystery to people. Like, what do you mean? What happens when you join the church? There isn't like a contract you sign, just so you know, okay? Nobody signs a contract. We do take your picture, and we do call you every single night at 2 in the morning, okay? Look, joining the church is a heart commitment. We do it the way we do at the end during the invitation, because it's a way for people to kind of step across the line in a real way and say, you know what, I'm going to make a commitment to this body, and we're saying that to you. We make a mutual commitment to each other. And then you pray with someone about that, and that's how you join the church. Maybe for you, it is, you think you're like, man, I'm not connected in relationships. We want to help you with that. We want God to be able to fulfill his will in your life. So maybe for you, it is about trying a group. Maybe it scares you. Maybe you're super introvert. It doesn't scare you. But maybe it does. We want you just to try a group. So take out this card. Oh, man, my Bible's over there. There's a card in your bulletin. Take out that card. See it? Right there. So, all right. Now, here's the deal with this card. The Life Group Ministry got a little loopy when they wrote this card, okay? Now, what they did, if you read down through that card, they compiled a list of legitimate excuses. So if your excuse is on that list, that's legitimate. There's hundreds of other excuses that are not legitimate, but if your excuse is on that list, it's legitimate. So what we want you to do, for the sake of scientific research, if you do have a legitimate excuse not to try a group, check the box, which is your excuse, hand that to the person as you go out the door so we can just, you know, do some scientific research with that. Now, if not, and you want to be connected to a group, we want to help you do that. So if you go down to the last box, it says there that you want to be connected to a group, then we help you do that. You just check that box, and then you write your name and your email and your phone, and we'll just follow up and just help you. Not signing your life away, it's just a way for us to help you try a group. And you give that card to someone as you leave, out in Connecting Point or a volunteer. God designed your life to only thrive spiritually together and not alone. This is true for the church, but think about it. It's true in life. The way God designed life was for us to only thrive together. God's word says it's true. Life, science proves it's true. Let me tell you a story. Just an amazing thing I saw the other day about relationships. There's this study called the Harvard Grant Study. There's only a couple of these things in the world where there's a study that's gone on for a long period of time. For 75 years, Harvard, back in 1941, started in 1941, they took 268 people from all different walks of life, different economic, positions, all different, social classes, all kinds of different things. 268 people. And they're like, we're going to study their life. We're going to see, how they do life. We're going to, ask them questions about how fulfilled they are and all kinds of stuff. And 75 years later, the study is still going on. The reason these studies don't ever last this long is because the person who creates the study dies eventually, right? Or the funding goes out. This study has had four directors. And it's continually funded. And so 75 years later, they have all this data on all these people and their kids and, their other relatives and all that kind of stuff. And they've asked all these questions. And they looked at, life fulfillment, and they looked at life satisfaction and like health, inner health, and all those things. And there's only one factor, one thing that far and above every other factor helps determine whether or not you're inner healthy or you have life satisfaction. And it's not money. It's not maybe some of the other things you might think. You know what it is? Relationships. Relationships. Look at this quote. Relationships are far and away the strongest predictor of life satisfaction. The conclusion of the study is that connection is the whole shooting match. It's true in life, but it's especially true in the church, because we are the body of Christ. We are put together, designed to only function together. And so God's plans to use your life to work through you, to work through your life, accomplish His will through you, and to bless your life, to heal your life, to bless you, are contingent on whether or not you are connected to the body. And does anybody know why that's true? It's because a body part only functions when it is connected to the body. Let's pray together. Here we go. Father, we're thinking about the people on our right and our left right now, and we're praying for them. We ask you, God, to bless their life. Give them what they need, Lord. Just give them what they need. You know, put an impression on their heart, whatever, if there's a step you're calling them to take. We ask for their blessing. We ask that you come in and you do something good in their life. There's a barrier that's preventing that, God. We ask you to help them remove it. Give them what they need to be able to receive your healing, your blessing, or to walk in your will for their life. We're just kind of aware of the people around us right now, God. We ask you to do that. And we think about our own lives and we want it. We want you to bless us. We want you, and we say that not in a selfish way. We say that in a way it's like submissive. We're submitted to your will, God. Come in, pour into us and heal us and reveal to us what you would have us do. Holy Spirit, you know, communicate to our hearts. And if there's a step that's hard to take, then Holy Spirit, give us the strength or give us the ability to take that step, to be able to walk further in your will. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for the people around us as we pray for them. And you're using us to just even, you know, pour into their lives spiritually through prayer. And thank you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. So we're going to sing a song together. And as we begin to sing this song, I'm going to come down front. And we want to offer you an invitation. If we can pray with you about something in your life, we want to do that. We want to go together, go to God's Spirit together, and deal with anything that God has put on your heart to deal with. Maybe you're here with a burden in your life, and you feel like, you know, when you heard that part about something being just kind of too far away or too far for you to handle, well, we want to call on God together and pray and ask the Spirit to come into those things. And so if there's something on your heart, in your own life, or something, some kind of burden you have for somebody, someone you love or something, we want to, you know, practice that together. So when we sing, I'll be right down here. You come forward and I'll introduce you to somebody, and you guys will go and take that thing to the Spirit. Take it in prayer together. If you've never responded to the gospel, which is Jesus died for you, He paid a price for you, and He wants to forgive you, and He wants the Holy Spirit to be in your life forever, and He wants you to leave here feeling that peace because of the reality that your sins are forgiven, that your destiny is forever changed. If you haven't called on the Lord and said, I want Jesus in my life, then we want you to do that right now. So when we sing, I want you just to come and meet me, and we will walk you through it. You don't have to, like, know what to do. Don't worry about it. We'll walk you through it. Here's what God says. Here's where you are. We'll walk you through it every step of the way. And you can leave today with those realities in your life, forever forgiven, part of the body, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you forever. If you've never joined the church, maybe you just showed up, we're so glad you're here. You can join today. You've been here 10 years and you've never joined the church, you can join today. And, you know, whatever decision it is that you have, and if you're holding on to your seat like, oh, I want to go, but I kind of scared, then nudge the person next to you and let them come with you. And it's even better if they don't know you, right? Just grab them and bring them down, okay? So we're going to stand right now and sing. And as we sing right now, whatever decision you have, come and meet me right here.